Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on your time zone and when you happen to be listening to your iPod or clicking on our web link for TMCNET's Communications and Technology Podcast for Friday, the 26th of August. I am Rich Tarani, and we're thrilled to have you. I've also got Al Breidenberg, who works on TMCNET. Al, say hi.
Good morning.
I've also got Bob Liu. Bob?
Hello, everyone.
And we've got Ted Glanzer. Ted, say hi.
Say hi.
Fantastic, fantastic. How you guys doing?
Oh, okay, pretty good. I think I'm cranked. You know, you played the woohoo music, and that gets me going.
You know, a podcast without the woohoo music is definitely not a full podcast. I've got to thank Andy Abramson, who suggested we have some theme music to our podcast, and now we do. And thanks, Andy. And if you're listening, appreciate that. Let's get into today's news. It's been a really, really big news. VoIP has been all over the mainstream press. It's getting more and more coverage. And, of course, the Vonage IPO is one of the many things to talk about this week. If you haven't read my article on this or seen my blog, Vonage is reportedly going to have an IPO soon. There was a report in the Daily Deal and also in the Wall Street Journal, and it basically says that they are looking to go public. And I surmised a couple different things that they're going to have to think about, such as making profit, which we all know right now they've got tremendous expenses, and the question is, can they justify the tremendous expense on marketing that they're spending, and will they be able to turn that into a profitable venture? It looks like soon they're going to have 1 million customers, which is a pretty fascinating amount of customers within a short amount of time, a company no one heard of maybe 4 years ago, and now everyone knows them. So household name.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been sort of commenting over the last year that that, you know, most people don't know what VoIP is, and most people don't care. But I think that situation may be flipping around now. Maybe you listen to the public radio marketplace business show sometimes. It comes on at 6:30 in our area here in the evening. But for the first time, they led their radio show with the word VoIP. They said VoIP is the big news, and they reported on the Vonage IPO. So I think that was kind of a landmark for me.
Now, Al, we just lost your voice there. You're not talking on a VoIP phone by any chance, are you?
Oh, no. I wish I could say that I would, because maybe you wouldn't have been having that trouble with my voice.
Hey, Bob, did he fade for you too, Ted?
No, he didn't fade on me.
It could just be my wireless headset.
I also sit next to him.
Okay.
So.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but that's we can take that up after the podcast. Or request a move, or is that a compliment, Bob? What was that exactly?
No, it's just that he you know, I can't tell his levels because he's sitting next to me.
I got it. Yeah. I got it. Okay, fantastic.
But, okay, well, let me ask you something, Rich, about this Vonage IPO. It seems, you know, if you look back at the dot-com days, right, they're more or less following that same model, where you know, they drum up a whole lot of venture capital, right? And then they use that venture capital on marketing their name and their service, and then they go public. But as we saw from the dot-com era, very few dot-coms, you know, apart from eBay and Amazon, are still, you know, standalone. They were, you know, more or less absorbed into, you know, being you know, a clicks and mortar, as the term evolved, operation. Do you think that voice over IP is you know, I guess you know, enough to be a standalone business, you know, for a company like Vonage, or do you think that they're going to be absorbed by, you know, an RBOC one of these days, or maybe a cable company one of these days, and you know, the fact that there are shares publicly held just makes an acquisition easier?
Well, it could go either way. So what would be best for the company? It seems like Jeff Citron has really done a good job of trying to diversify the company into things like WiMAX, and they're using Wi-Fi telephony as well. They're using all the different technologies to try to diversify their company. I predicted in a recent article and on my blog that I also expect them to become a mobile virtual network operator, or an MVNO. And what that is simply is a company like Virgin Mobile, that really is just a phantom company or
yes.
a company that doesn't have facilities, but at the same time are able to sell service. And so I anticipate that Vonage will be selling phones based on, at the moment, Sprint is the most popular wholesaler. And, they could work with Verizon, they could work with anybody, but let's say they work with Sprint. They would have a handset, which they would sell you, which would work on Sprint and would also work on any Wi-Fi hotspot. Maybe T-Mobile is the right partner for this because of T-Mobile's widespread hotspots. And maybe they'll buy Wayport. I mean, Boingo, I'm just thinking outside the box as to what the company could do. I mean, there are a lot of different things that they could do to compete with the big boys. But at the same time, we recently saw an article from, was it Ted Glanzer? I think, Ted, you wrote it, or was it in your blog, where you said that SBC was reported to say that they're going to spend $4 billion on IPTV, and if it doesn't work, well, $4 billion is not that much for them.
I blogged it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what we're talking about with the phone companies, right? $4 billion, they invest $4 billion, and if it doesn't work, it just doesn't work. Right? That's what we're dealing with. So at any time, a phone company can just come along and just take them out
right.
with enough money. Will they? I don't know. I reported a while back that Bell South was looking to buy Vonage, and the blogging community went crazy saying that the valuations that I mentioned were too high. But, of course, it was someone that I spoke with one step removed from the deal that gave me this information. So I think the person was valid who told me this. But Vonage apparently didn't want to go with that particular path. They didn't want to go with the SBC acquisition, assuming that the
or
information...
Bell South, was it?
I'm sorry, yeah. Assuming that information was accurate, which I believe it is. So, again, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's got to be some desperation in some of the remaining phone companies that haven't picked up a company like MCI, or they haven't picked up a company like AT&T, right?
Makes sense.
They've got to do something. So
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yes, and we'll, TMCNet will be on top of it as this evolves.
We'll do our best.
So.
Now, Bob, you've done some coverage on the recent Google Talk announcement. What
yes. Yes. As of this week, Google officially threw its hat into the IM and presence capability market. Presence being the collaborative ability to be aware of your coworkers' virtual presence at any time, real time.
Is that kind of like the Force?
Kind of, yes, yes, exactly. It's obviously got a considerable weight behind itself, Google does, but it also has a huge mountain to climb competing with the Yahoo and AOL and MSN Messenger.
Yeah, Bob, from what I understand, from what I've read, that so far the Google Talk is more just sort of a Me Too type of service at this point, correct?
Yes. I think the most important thing about the announcement is it just underscores the importance that IM and presence is playing in the corporate world. In addition to Google, you saw announcements from Skype opening up its developer platform so that anybody can integrate the IM presence capability. You also saw a similar announcement from Microsoft this week unveiling collaboration tools for their live communicator server. So
it's not Google isn't doing anything that's that extraordinary, but it's mostly just that Google is doing it. Is that really what the news is? That it's Google?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Well, that's significant. That's significant.
It is. Yes,
though,
yes.
Because everybody's kind of looking at Google as the maybe even the next Microsoft.
Microsoft definitely looks at Google as a software company. I mean, they've stated this publicly in the past. And we all know about the underlying story between the head of Google, that'd be Eric Schmidt, and Bill Gates. So.
Well, I don't know that we all do know that. What's that? What are you talking about?
Oh, Eric Schmidt used to be head of Novell. And, you know, for those not aware of the networking world, the Novell was the once dominant player in server software, server networking software. NetWare was a dominant force with a dominant market position. And then along came Microsoft with its Windows NT back after Windows 95, and then slowly evolving into Windows 2000, and they've captured more and more market share and kind of left Novell to fend for itself in the open source market now. So Eric Schmidt, I'm sure, still remembers that.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it's interesting that they're really smart in their approach as opposed to Larry Ellison of Oracle that just basically continuously bashes Microsoft and says what a piece of garbage their products are. Google has said repeatedly that they don't see themselves as competing head-on with Microsoft. And so in the general press, they try to play it down, which is pretty smart because you just don't want to make the people at Microsoft angry. They have a lot of money, and they have software on virtually every desktop and on every server. So smart thinking on their end.
Yes.
So with that, we go to Ted, who's got a report on what's happening with VoIP 911 and the impending deadline.
Yes, and the continuing saga of the E911 VoIP issue. The Vaughn Coalition yesterday published a letter and sent a letter to the FCC requesting a 90-day extension to comply, for its members to comply with the notification requirements that are contained within the FCC's order that requires VoIP service providers to offer E911 service by the end of November.
Yeah. Now, what is the notification requirement for next week? What is it that's supposed to be happening next week that they're saying they need more time on?
Well, there's a deadline that has been established for August 28th, or I'm sorry, August 29th, in which all VoIP providers are supposed to have 100% of their subscribers indicate that they understand the risks associated or potential risks associated when they dial 911 on their VoIP phone. Now, the issue is that if they do not comply. In other words, if a VoIP carrier only obtains, say, 92% of the confirmations from their consumers, the 8% who did not respond are going to have their service dropped pursuant to the FCC's order. So, for example, Vonage has 96% compliance, which is one heck of a batting average if you're playing baseball. But in the in terms of customers, they have 800,000, and 8% is about 31,000 potentially lost or dropped clients.
Or 4%, you mean?
Sorry? Yes, 4%, forgive me.
Yeah. So what would Vonage have to do next week if those 31,000 or however many, if they haven't responded to this notification, or they just get dropped or what?
They get dropped, indeed.
Yes. And they don't have telephone service anymore? They don't have VoIP service anymore?
And they will not have VoIP service unless or until, if they actually comply or acknowledge that they have received the notification by Tuesday, then yes, they will continue to have their service. But if not, it's just a plain drop.
Now, so this is an interesting thing that I'm a VoIP subscriber. I've subscribed to AT&T CallVantage, among others. I get a lot of test accounts, and I got an urgent message from them, a voicemail, and I haven't actually listened to it, but I did go to their site, and I did acknowledge that I'm aware of the problem. Do you guys want to hear it? Why don't we play it for the listeners?
Sure, that's
great.
Got
it right there.
Let's see if I can get the technology to work. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Well, in the meantime, should we sing together?
Notice from AT&T CallVantage service. Your service will be disconnected on August 30th unless you review and acknowledge the 911 information we have sent to you. Please visit www.att.com/911 immediately. In accordance with the recent order from the FCC, if you do not visit this website and provide your acknowledgement of this information, we are required to disconnect your service on August 30th. That website again is www.att.com/911. If you have questions, please contact us at 866-596-8464. Thank you.
Wow.
Now, yes.
It's a nice voiceover, too. I wonder who that was.
Did that come through okay?
You oh, yes. We heard it loud and clear, Rich. Oh.
Yeah.
That's very fascinating.
Now, what's so interesting about this disconnection issue is that it could actually place a subscriber in the very same position that the FCC is seeking to avoid.
Well, worse, because at least if you don't get 911 to work, someone might think to dial zero.
Exactly.
Or some other number to get help, but in this case, they just disconnected
exactly.
altogether.
Or as noted, you know, not every emergency requires 911 assistance. So, someone who's seeking to, go to a poison control center or something like that and dial the poison control center, obviously they're going to be shut from that service as well. So.
Yeah, this seems like punishing the victim. So I guess it sounds like what the Vaughn Coalition is doing, Ted, they're asking for another 90 days for this. Is that what it
yes,
is?
Yes, they're seeking 90 days for those VoIP service providers who are continuing their efforts or have been and are continuing their efforts to obtain customer confirmation.
Wow.
Well, we'll see how that works out. But
so what would be the next thing? I mean, does the FCC have a meeting between now and then, or are they going to have to call a special session or what?
I'm not exactly sure what has to happen, but my guess is since it was sent to all of the commissioners to the FCC that they probably have to have some type of special session in order to review the documentation.
Well, I feel bad for any VoIP customers that have been on vacation for a while.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting that you're saying that because a lot of people do take time off in the summer, right?
Right, yeah, at this time of year.
Not only that, but you also feel bad for, of course, the VoIP providers who, as Rich just mentioned with Vonage, I mean, you know, they're looking to increase their customer base, and here they are the potentially having to shut down tens of thousands of clients.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that's happening here. What happens if there is an emergency and there's somebody injured because of this? That's what I'm curious about. What happens then? We have congressional hearings, and then we go after the FCC? What is the situation there?
Yeah, really, whose culpability is a big question.
Yeah, I'd be concerned if I was the FCC. I just don't understand. I see their point, but at the same time, I don't understand how they could shut service
There's
off.
There's no question that something had to be done with regard to the 911 issue, but by the same token, the FCC could just be playing a game of chicken right now, and maybe part of its plan all along would be to provide these types of extensions, but really
but
having a hard and fast rule in place just so that people get on the ball and start getting those customer notifications.
Wouldn't something more logical be, and I could be just nuts to say this, but and it just occurred to me, why not just require that VoIP providers, prior to connecting any phone call, any outgoing phone call, or any incoming phone call for that matter, would play a brief recording reminding someone that they've got to immediately acknowledge the 911 so that every time they use the device at least, they get that message so that, in other words, give an extension, but say that from this point onward, you need to have a recording.
That's an interesting solution.
You guys like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, on to the next topic. The next topic is of extreme importance in the VoIP industry. It has to do with a new thing that Bob Blue would like to do.
Bob wants to become the next Letterman, I think.
Well, see, the impetus for this was earlier this week, the U.S. Internet Industry Association released a white paper that they described as the 10 principles of broadband industry self-regulation. And they went through, you know, just the 10 principles that should, you know, be followed and, you know, and self-policed throughout the industry for service providers and things like, you know, consumers are entitled to access legal content of their choice with, you know, things like that. So it kind of got me thinking about, you know, our own top 10 list that we should, you know, really hit relevance. So
the top 10 list for what?
Now. Well, for this week, I was thinking maybe the top 10 work-related things you don't want to hear while on vacation. So here we go. The top 10 work-related things you don't want to hear while on vacation. Number 10, any sentence mentioning the word parameter. Number 9, the word ping without a pong at the end of it. Number 8.
I like that one.
Number 8, what's for breakfast? Spam. Number 7, are you sure it's broken? Try to reboot. Number 6, the CEO wants more SEO. Number 5, we're out of Oreos. Number 4, the site's down. Number 3, any gossip from the water fountain. Number 2, the new temp is working out just fine. And the number 1 thing you don't want to hear while on vacation, you are fired.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, with that, we're going to go to our closing music. Thanks to all our listeners for reading TMCNet on a regular basis, and also, do you say reading or do you say browsing? Browsing? What's appropriate? Al, you're the editor-in-chief of TMCNet. What's the proper term?
Yeah, I think we have to say reading because our readers are all intelligent people, and they come to read good content on TMCNet.
Wow, that was really good. I was expecting you to say that our content is so good that you really need to read it. You can't just browse through it.
Well, I think that's right. That's exactly right.
I love it. Okay. I love it, Al. All right, well, thanks for the plug on TMCNet, and thanks to all of you for listening to our podcast, our Communications and Technology podcast. And until next week, have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful week. Thanks to all.
See you, everybody. Woo-hoo. We're looking for the woohoo.